Yes, welcome back in, everybody, to another edition of The Jungle Show. Excited to be back this time to talk about an Auburn win. Auburn bounces back and defeats the Georgia Bulldogs by a score of 94-73 on Wednesday night in Neville Arena. We are here to talk about that game and preview the upcoming matchup against the number two ranked Tennessee Volunteers in Knoxville on Saturday. Before we get started, just a quick reminder that this video is sponsored by NordVPN. Staying safe online is an ever-growing difficulty, and you could be exploited to hackers. NordVPN allows you to change your IP address, making you harder to track and secure your privacy. NordVPN is giving Auburn Daily listeners and readers a special deal, so check out the link in the episode description below today. So excited, just like I said, to be talking about an Auburn basketball win again. Obviously, last week was a very tough week for Auburn. Two losses, the loss at home against A&M to lose the home winning streak, and then the three-point loss and the comeback effort against West Virginia and Morgantown. But to be able to bounce back and get a good start to a tough, tough February against this Georgia team, getting revenge from their loss in Athens a few weeks ago, this was a big one. And the way that Auburn did it in such dominating fashion, especially offensively, was absolutely ideal and perfect for this team. So to do that, to discuss this win, I brought in my dad and co-host again. Dad, what are your initial thoughts on this victory?
First of all, War Eagle, glad to be here. I think we saw the beginnings of this game in the second half of the West Virginia game.
Yeah.
By that, I mean, offensively, we figured some stuff out. Came into this game, look, Georgia doesn't have any post presence. They didn't on January 4th either, and they beat us. But I think we were talking earlier, and you mentioned, I think Janai got like four offensive rebounds on the first two possessions and kind of knew it was going to be his type of game.
Yep.
He got hurt and came back and played. But offensively, I think it was I was listening to the Auburn Observer podcast, and what's his name on that podcast?
Give me his name.
Justin likes to dig into the analytics of it, and he said he dug into a stat that was offensive efficiency stat, that this was the most offensive efficient game we have played since like 04 or 05. Not Jared Harper, Bryce Brown, before that. The fact that he said, you know, I think it tracks per 100 possessions, and we could have scored like 140. And if we made some free throws, we'd have scored 100 in this game.
Yeah.
It was a fun game to watch. I like the fact that our coaching staff is showing that they know how to make adjustments. And I like the fact that our players are taking those adjustments to heart and actually doing them on the court.
Yeah, well, before we talk about the adjustments that were made and the difference between especially this game and the Texas A&M game, right, but even in this game compared to on January 4th against Georgia where we lost, Bruce Pearl and his staff have been one of the best in the SEC, if not the best, and tops in the country at making adjustments to better suit the players that they have on the floor.
Yep.
Which is vital in college basketball nowadays, because you know the playing field is not going to be equal no matter who you're playing against. Every position is going to be different as well. So you have to know your personnel, and Bruce is one of the best at that. Know your personnel and use it to their best advantage. And he did that in this game. Mm-hmm. For the first part of it, you know, we talked about, and when we talked about the Georgia game last time, Terry Roberts and Kariet Okwindo played absolutely outstanding in that game.
Torched us.
Absolutely. So it was in every single loss that Auburn has had thus far, there has been a guard that has gone berserk offensively. Mm-hmm. That completely was being taken away by not only the double teams at the top with Janai, but Zepp. Played outstanding on the defensive end. Wendell played really, really good on the defensive end. KD looks so much more confident.
He looks much more like KD, by the way, in the last game and a half.
Yeah, well, it looked like that defense, finally they started to turn into offense for him. And we'll talk about him in a second, especially when he plays against Georgia. But it was good to avoid the sweep against Georgia, like any time. But the way that they did this, I want you to mention the – and we were talking about this pre-show – the difference that they made in the flex cut action to get Jalen Williams the ball. Cause we talked about the Texas A&M game. They did not allow Jalen Williams to get the ball off the slip on that pass, nor did they allow Janai to get the ball off the slip on that pass. There was a slight adjustment made to that play, to that flex cut action that Auburn is known for running that Bruce Pearl has done so well with
for years.
That changed this whole game. I know Jalen Williams only had six shots, but there were specific adjustments that were made that helped Alan Flanagan, that helped Wendell Green, and that helped Janai Broome as well.
All right, so a couple things. You just added a loaded question. So first of all, when we first started watching the game, I tweeted out, really interested to see if we can keep guards in front of us on defense. Stephen Pearl had the scout, and I'm sure it was him that said, we're going to, anytime they're in the middle of the floor, instead of them straight line driving us, we're going to take away half the floor by running our center hedge high on and take away half the floor and make them have to go the other way so that our guards can be a step ahead of them. That stopped the straight line drive. There was hardly any straight line drive in that game. Yep. If you'll remember on January 4th, that's all they did was drive it right down the slot. So big adjustment there. But then the subtle tweak on the flex cut. So the flex action is the two guys in the slot, one with a ball, there's a guy down on the post opposite the ball, and a guy on the wing opposite the ball. And I wish I had a whiteboard to draw it up here. But they run the guy off the wing, off a cut, getting screened by the guy on the block. Your first look in the flex cut is that guy running for a layup coming off that screen. Well, teams know we do that. So they have been helping with the screener's defender, which allows that screener from the block to just step into the lane and get a diagonal pass. And that's a Jalen, that's 2 points anytime Jalen gets the ball there.
Same thing with Janai.
And Janai, because they got the push shot, they got the hook shot, they've got the drop step. Well, we talked about it after the Texas A&M game. Buzz Williams had done a great job scouting and took away that duck in completely. He, instead of being low on with his defender being low, that defender got high and took away the duck in wasn't there. You were to have to go through his player to duck in. And you and I talked about it after that game. Every team that watches us play in the SEC will do that defense on us. If they don't, they're stupid.
Yep.
That's the defense that you use to stop that duck in. I was a little concerned because I was like, that's our main source of inside efficiency. And I don't know what we're going to do. Well, Bruce knew what to do. I don't know if you noticed it. It was in the, I didn't notice it until the second half. I don't think we really ran it well or executed it until the second half, but Alan Flanagan was on that elbow. Jalen set the screen for Janai or whoever ran across not open.
Yeah.
And instead of ducking in, because Georgia did it, the exact same thing that A&M did. They ran that defender high so Jalen couldn't duck in. So Allen just threw it over the defender's head. He can't see. His back is to Allen. Yeah. Threw it over the defender's head for a lob to Jalen. It worked. It's perfect. I hear people all the time on Twitter going, I don't think we're running any offensive sets. We are running offensive.
We always do, yeah.
We run a lot of high screen and roll, and that looks like it's not an offensive set. It's a set. We run a lot of flex cut action because there's a lot of things that can happen off of that. And this lob is just a countermeasure to what Bruce knows everybody's going to do. What I think it may do as well is draw that defender that's guarding the other slot down a little bit so that he can help that duck in and the other defender can stay below him, which opens up that outside shot on that slot for our other guard. When you can play and you can score inside like we did against Georgia, everything becomes easier.
Yeah.
Wendell had open shots. He hit them. KD hit some open shots. Allen was crazy good. Like maybe the best game I've ever seen him play.
Yep.
Type of good. And it's all because we were able to go inside. They had to help. If they have to help, that's going to leave somebody open. And that flex lob is a big adjustment. And it's a called set. And it was ran perfectly. At least once, maybe I think twice that I remember it. Once I recognized it.
Yeah. So let's talk a little bit about the stats on this game. Auburn, we mentioned this after the Washington game when Auburn had that offensive outbreak after the loss to USC and their West Coast trip. It looked like everything was going Auburn's way in that Washington game. Well, that's how it looked for this Georgia game for 40 minutes of this ball game. Mm-hmm. Auburn shot 56% from the field, shot 36% from three, only committed 5 turnovers, completely out-rebounded Georgia, both on the offensive and defensive end, and completely dominated the paint, had 30 more points in the paint than them, had 2 more blocks, had 4 more steals. And then you just go down the individual stat line and you're like, okay, yeah, that looks like an offensively dominated performance. Wendell Green had 8 points, made 3 threes, he also had 6 assists. Jalen Williams, you know, we talked about how he only had 6 shots in this game, but he had 4 points, he had 5 rebounds, he had 4 assists, and he had a block. He played outstanding, and plus minus a plus 12 in a game you won by 21. Jani Broome had I don't even know if I could say like dominating is not a strong enough way to talk about Jani's 2 performances against Georgia. He had 22 and 12 in the first one and had 19 and 18 in this one. 7 offensive rebounds, went 8 from 11 from the floor, also had a steal and a block.
And I don't know if you – I think we talked about it earlier. If you heard Bruce Pearl after the game or maybe on the radio show this past week, he said, had I known that Jani was at 19 and 18, was that close to 2020, which would have been a remarkable accomplishment, he'd have played at least one more round, one more shift in the late game.
Yeah, Jani only played 22 minutes in this game and had 19 points and 18 rebounds.
Yeah.
So going down the stat line, the leading scorer in this game, which kind of surprised me. I didn't really know he was at this many points until the announcer said, oh, look at number 22. He's matched his jersey number in points. Allen Flanagan had 22 points, 8 of 10 from the field, 3 of 10 from the three-point line. Also had a rebound and an assist and 2 steals. He looked, just like you mentioned earlier, it looked like one of the best games I've ever watched Allen play. And then we've been begging all year and been trying and trying and trying to get more bench production, have that bench guy. And for a bit, it was Allen Flanagan when Chris Moore was in the starting lineup. But now that Chris Moore got hurt, Flanagan got thrown into the starting lineup. I think he belongs there. But now we need to know who's that bench guy. Who do we go to when we get to the bench to rely on offensively? Well, let's go down the line here. KD Johnson had probably one of his best games of this season. Mm-hmm. 13 points, went 4 of 7, buried a 3, also had an assist and a rebound, and 2 steals. He looked more comfortable. He looked more confident. That looked like the KD swag that we've been begging for all year.
Absolutely.
Trey Donaldson added a three. Chris Moore had 5 points, added a three as well. Leo Berman had two, and Jalen Carwell had 8 points and five rebounds. So just an offensively dominated performance. And you only, you know, you look at the final score, you only win this game by 21 points. If, let me see this guy's name, Mairdrez McBride doesn't go 6 for 6 for three in the second half for Georgia, you win the game by 40, 45, something like that. Because he had,
what on earth?
He went 6 of 6 for three in the second half. They hit 10 threes in the second half. Auburn only hit 9 in the whole game. But it was just an offensively dominated performance for Auburn. So, again, this is the perfect bounce back game, the perfect way to start this very, very tough stretch that Auburn basketball is about to go on in terms of schedule and where they play and who they're playing and that sort of thing. I want to get your thoughts on this. Bouncing back from just like you mentioned, I believe this game was a carryover from the second half comeback against West Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
I believe we would have won that West Virginia game if there was 22 minutes in the second half.
Mm-hmm.
I think we should have won that game anyway.
Or if Stevenson doesn't hit shots with people draped all over him.
Yeah, the one that he hit from the corner, we're just like – by the way, Eric Stevenson, this is complete, you know, off the mark here, off topic, but he went 1 of 7 in his next game. After going 7 of 10 against us, that's just going to happen. And by the way, Texas A&M played Arkansas.
It got beat.
Got destroyed. They shot like 20% from the field.
Yeah.
It's just, that's college basketball now. You get hot at the right time. That's when you're going to start winning games. This was the perfect game for Auburn to get hot, to have the game where they make 9 threes and have Allen Plantinga go for 22, get Katie Johnson some swag back, have Janai have this game where it's like, what? He got every rebound. Completely stole one from Trey on the defensive end. Trey had it in both of his hands. It was like landing on the floor. And I said, give me that.
Mm-hmm.
Moving on into the rest of the schedule from Auburn, you look at the next three games: at Tennessee on Saturday, at Texas A&M next week, and then Alabama at home on next Saturday. What does this game mean for the future of this team, especially the more recent future that we have coming up on this schedule?
All right. So a couple quick things. I see that. So we have a team this year that has a lot of veterans on it. Guys who have been there and done that. So what that means is Bruce can coach around. Okay. If I tell guys what I want them to do, they're going to do it. Now they may miss shots or whatever, but they're going to do it and they're going to execute. So I really like the fact that we've had three strong halves in a row, super strong halves in a row with offensively. I like that we made an adjustment on defense. I think that'll help. So we go to Knoxville tomorrow. Tennessee just got beat by Florida. When I was watching that happen, I was thinking, oh, I wish they wouldn't have done it because they're going to be mad. I saw what Alabama did to Vanderbilt after they were mad after getting beat by Oklahoma.
Yeah.
We're not Vanderbilt, and Tennessee's not Alabama. Tennessee probably better than Alabama right now. Tennessee, what they do, what they hang their hat on is defense. So the fact that our offense is getting better makes me feel a little bit better.
Yeah.
The fact that Stephen Pearl and the coach at Florida are like best friends and talk all the time on the phone also makes me feel better. Mm. Hey, you can get a scout.
I didn't think about that.
There's your scout right there. Yeah. I'm afraid though that what he's going to tell them is have Tennessee miss all their threes.
Because that's what they did.
They were missing everything they looked at. They're not a great 3-point. I think they're in the 30% 3-point shooting team. But the stat is they've not lost when they've shot over 30% from three, and they're 4-4 when they've shot less than 30% from three.
Yeah.
When Kentucky went into Knoxville and beat them, they did not shoot the ball well. one thing we do or have done, and I know I'm going to say this and everybody's going to go, but West Virginia, is we're typically known as a good 3-point defensive team. And for what it's worth at West Virginia, we were playing good 3-point defense. The kid was just hitting them.
Yeah.
Their Tennessee's guards are smaller, which is good because usually it's bigger guards that give Wynn trouble. The little guard for them though is quick as lightning. I don't know his name. He's got the braids. So
Zakai Ziegler.
Ziegler. And then Vescovi, if he gets hot, it will be over quickly.
Yeah.
We've got a chance though.
Yes, no doubt. So this Tennessee team is very different than past Tennessee teams that Rick Barnes has had in Knoxville. This is a very, just like you mentioned, very, very good defensive team. They're gonna play hard and they're gonna make shots. This game is not gonna be about Tennessee. This game is gonna be about can Auburn continue the past really good three halves of basketball offensively that they've had, starting with the West Virginia second half and then the Georgia game. Can they continue that away from home in Thompson Bowling Arena? It's going to be packed. It's going to be loud. You know, that's always an emotional game for Tennessee, as it is Auburn, because of who Auburn's head coach is. But this could be a statement game for Auburn. You go into Knoxville and beat the number two team in the country, you're looking at a completely different perspective from this team.
Totally.
You do play Tennessee again. You'll play them in the last game of the season in Neville Arena. So this is a huge statement that I know Bruce Pearl, Stephen Pearl, and that staff really, really wants. I know this team really, really wants. It's just going to be about how they play offensively. So
yeah, and don't get upset if the offense doesn't look good. Most offenses did not look good against the number one defense in the country.
Yeah.
So if we can stay, look, I don't believe in moral victories. If we lose, it's a loss. But if we could stay close and lose close, it's a good Q1 loss.
I agree.
And they've got Julian Phillips, who Bruce wanted really bad.
Yeah.
Last year,
too.
Really good freshman. Absolutely. We'd like to beat him and at least be able to say you should have come here.
Yeah, but we'll go ahead and wrap this one up. If you want to find either of us on Twitter, just find us at Gray Oldenburg, at War Eagle Hoops. If you want to find the great stuff on auburndaily.com, just go there or find the Auburn Daily on Twitter. We'll be back tomorrow before the Tennessee game to talk about some unbelievable recruiting that Auburn has had this week. But be on the lookout for that. And War Eagle.
War Eagle.